And we're live. Welcome to the first inaugural Jedi and Germs Guy on Jazz. We're talking about the Utah Jazz. This is Germs Guy from Twitter and Jedi Zog from Twitter. John, say hello.
Hello.
And we're going to talk Utah Jazz. We're going to try and make this a weekly podcast. We love feedback, and we'd love to hear back from everybody and talk about what's going on with our Utah Jazz this year as they're developing and growing. So let's kick it off. John, you got some points you want to talk about? You want to kick this off?
Yeah, we're 8 games into the season, and before the season, almost all the national guys picked the Jazz to be the worst or second worst team in the West. And right now we're 11th in the West at 3-5. I didn't expect us to be a playoff team this year, but I did expect the improvement. My initial prediction was 35-47, and I'm still feeling pretty good about that. Where did you pick the Jazz at preseason?
I was right about the same. I had us between the 35-40. I thought we'd peak at 40 if at all. But I was figuring right around 37 wins is what I think I had them at. So, I mean, they're already exceeding expectations as far as I'm concerned. We've seen them win a couple of games they actually look really good in a couple of their wins.
Yeah. I thought they'd be 2-6 at this point. And if they're 1-7 at this point, I wouldn't have been surprised. But the Phoenix win was really good for them, and they really shouldn't have lost to Indiana, but that's youth coming through on the road, I guess.
Yeah.
But they had like the worst opening 6 games of anyone. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's like Houston, Dallas, Phoenix, Clippers, Cavs, and Dallas again. That should have been an 0-6 start.
Well, and what surprises me is the Cavaliers didn't even start the season as strong as we expected either. And obviously, they're still trying to figure where their click is at. But no, I'm with you. I was torn. I wanted to say I thought they would win that Cleveland game. I'm not surprised they did, but I wouldn't have been surprised had they lost either. Dallas has actually surprised me. I expected us to lose one out of the 2 losses, but Dallas. Dallas right now looks like the best team in the West.
They do when they play the Jazz. I mean, they're 4-3 right now, but when I've seen them play the Jazz, they just look incredible. And a lot of prognosticators were saying they're going to improve this year, and I see that. I think they will eventually end up in the top 4 in the West. What surprised me is how well Houston's doing. It seemed like they had a talent downgrade over the summer, but they're started really strong. They're 6-1 right now. They just barely lost their first game of the season.
What surprises me is the way they're doing it. Houston's actually won with some defense, and I'm a bit surprised at that.
Well, you'd think with Dwight Howard they'd still be a good defensive team, but you're right. It's like the rest of the cast I'm not that confident in. And yet they're the number 2 defense in the league, which is amazing when you have Harden on that team.
Yeah. Yep. Well, so you're a little bit disappointed about the Indiana game. I am. Of the 6 games the Jazz have played, would that be your most disappointing game to this point?
Yeah, it would have to be. I understand it was a back-to-back. But Indiana is so talent depleted. Like 4 of their top 6 players were out. And Locke made the point AJ Price is essentially their 5th string point guard, and yet he was able to go off for 22 points. And it's not just that they lost, but it's how that they lost. The starters didn't look that great. The bench was awful, uncharacteristically awful. I mean, usually Trevor Booker gets in there and he gives him a bit of a spark, but he was not good that game. And we already don't have Rodney Hood. So if Booker can't even go off, and Exum kind of showed some of his 18-year-oldness, but yeah, it wasn't just that they lost, but the way that they lost was really surprising.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I mean, I was discussing it while I was watching the game last night, sitting there talking with Lowry. We were talking about the game, and if I remember correctly, Indiana only played only had an 8-man rotation last night. And no, I was incredibly surprised. I felt like the Jazz got shredded in the paint, especially, I mean, you know, Hibbert had the game of his life, I swear, last night. And then you top that off you go over to, their other big, I am completely drawing a blank. Why am I thinking of, I should never forget this guy's name. Long hair. Help me out here, John. Why am I forgetting
his name? Copeland?
No, Scola. Luis Scola.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Scola, you know, every time the Jazz have played him in the past, not just with Indiana, but with other teams, with Houston, he was a scrapper. He was a hard guy to defend because of his ability to get in and get rebounds. And then he makes that short 15-foot jump shot. And he seemed to have that going last night. And it didn't matter who the Jazz put on either player, it seemed like both bigs were really destroying the Jazz down in the paint. And offensive boards, the second chance points, Jazz just got out-rebounded on that offensive glass last night.
Yeah. I've noticed that with a few games. They're not as good a rebounding team as I thought they'd be.
Do you think that's a product or byproduct of what Quinn's trying to do on the offensive end as well as the defensive end to get back in transition? Or is that a product of guys just not being in the spots where they belong? What do you think?
Well, overall, they're one of the worst defensive teams in the league, and you can't just blame it on their attempt to up the pace, because other teams' defenses have actually managed to slow down the Jazz's pace. I mean, the Jazz are still in the top 10 offenses in the league, but their problem on defense is they're just not a good defensive rebounding team. Other teams are able to get offensive rebounds against them. And I don't know if that's toughness or what it is. I mean, Favors is doing his part, but Cantor's not a very good offensive rebounder, and it seems like once the other team shoots, yeah, maybe there is that mentality they're going to take off, but they need to focus on getting those boards first before they start celebrating their fast break opportunity. I should also point out the Jazz are number two in the NBA for fast break points, so that mentality is helping them in that regard. But when you're number 28 defense, you got to give a little here to make up for it there.
I mean, right.
They still have a losing record, so you got to figure out what could we do to win more games. And one thing I think they really should focus on is their defensive rebounding. I think they're 20th or 21st in the league for that, so they can definitely improve there. And they have the talent to do it. I mean, Cantor's a decent rebounder. If you look at his per 36, and he's an 18-9 guy. He's not quite getting the minutes because his defense is not good, and Booker's earning his minutes to replace him, other than the Indiana game. But you know, that's definitely an area where they can improve.
Well, and I've noticed it seems at times in at least a couple of the games I've gone to, sometimes it looks like our guard line is out rebounding Cantor or some of the guys down low, because there was a couple of games there where Hayward was getting a collection of a half a dozen rebounds or so, and then you were getting Alec Burks that were getting rebounds, Trey Burke was getting rebounds, and yet Cantor was still at the bottom of the team on the rebounds in at least one of those games I went to. I can't remember which one it was, but it seems like... And that's where there's a focus going on right now, and I've seen it, and that is Cantor. What do we do with the conundrum of Cantor at this point in time?
Yeah, I mean, I'm willing to say, hey, it's early. We don't need to panic. He's still good for 6 boards a game. But there's just those defensive rotations where it's obvious that he's a problem. And it's just one where I hope as we go through the season and he gets more used to the offensive and defensive schemes of Quinn, but he's able to get some stuff figured out, but it has not been a good start for him as far as that goes.
No, it hasn't. And sometimes he still looks lost on defense. I don't know if it's lost or if he's, I don't know. I can't pinpoint it when it comes to Kanter, but you're right. And as the season progresses, if he doesn't improve, it's likely that Gobert takes those minutes away because Gobert is a better position to give you some defense in the middle. Although I've even seen Gobert struggle at times to handle some guys.
Yeah, Gobert's great with length. His problem is he's kind of got a light frame, so it's a little easier for guys to push him around. He's still the best, one of the best rebounders on the team. I was just kind of glancing through some of Gobert's numbers, and he's really kind of he's not a liability on offense like he was last year, and so he's able to get more minutes, and he's making pretty good use of it. He doesn't hurt you on offense, but he's really good for defense overall. And I wonder if we're going to see more of Favors and Gobert sharing floor when it comes to that.
Yeah, I could see that. I think there's a lot of plus side to that, upside to that, if you have the two of them on the floor at the same time. So who's our star right now? I know we've got to develop stars, and that's what Quinn's trying to do. Do we have a star yet?
Yeah, Hayward. Think of this. In the first seven games, Hayward is 19.4 points, 6.3 rebounds, 5.1 assists. Last year, he was our 16-5-5 guy. Now he's a 19-6-5 guy. And he's really shown that mental toughness and that desire to take over games. It was the the Cleveland game where Quinn called him over and Hayward said, "I want the shot." And so he said, "Okay." And they drew up a play for him and he nailed it and he got his game winner. And even in Indiana, when everyone else was playing poorly in the fourth quarter, he still had that determination and he was, he scored 30 points. He just didn't have enough help from his team to actually get a win out of there. So, yeah, I think Hayward's a star. He's looked borderline all-star in some of these games. He needs to be more consistent about it. I think he only had 8 points the first season of the game, but he looks like he's going to be consistent this year.
Agreed.
And I think he will be a star, and the respect for him through the league is going to grow month by month.
I agree. I looked at that after the Detroit game because against Detroit, again in the fourth quarter, he scored the final. I think he scored the final 6 points in that Detroit game and garnered 2 defensive rebounds. Was the difference maker to win that ball game on Sunday. And I looked at my family as we were watching. I said, "There's your guy." And it was interesting to do it. And then I looked back over the last 4 games, and you're right, he's at that 19-5-5 clip. The only one game out of the last week where he was really not very good was that Dallas game. But then again, none of the team looked good against Dallas. So I don't know that we can pinpoint that on Hayward alone. The team just was just awful against Dallas. But the Dallas game aside, and like you said, that early game in the season, he's really come on strong.
Is there any player who surprised you so far this year?
Trevor Booker comes to mind. Not so much, and it might be more of a surprise because I didn't really, maybe I didn't know enough about him coming in like I do, but he has really taken on the role of, for lack of a better word, enforcer on the team. And it seems like he comes in with that energetic push off the bench, and you can tell Quinn's gotten to the point where if Kanter struggles, which has been often, he brings Booker in, and Booker is that energy that sparks the offense and the defense. He'll come in and he'll foul somebody really hard. I don't remember what game it was where he fouled somebody, hit him on the head, and they call it a flagrant one, but it plays like that.
Yeah.
That I like from a guy coming off your bench that's going to give you that kind of energy.
I think that was Kevin Love.
Yes, yes, that's who it was.
I actually enjoyed that foul. I thought that was a good foul.
And I just like what he's doing. It's not just the fouls, but, you know, his aggressiveness going to the basket. You know, there are some times when he gets the ball in the low post where I feel like the offense stops and it just is Booker for a minute. And I don't know that that's good for the offense, but when Booker really fits into what Quinn's trying to do on offense, man, he's like a fire for the rest of the team, and they respond.
Yeah, and I was looking at if you throw away Ian Clark and Steve Novak because they've had so few minutes, Booker is actually the second best offensive player as far as offensive box score goes. It's Hayward, who's just miles above everybody else, and then it's Booker. And he has been a great, consistent, until last night, offensive weapon for them off the bench.
Yeah, last night he did seem like he struggled a bit. Who's your surprise player?
My surprise positive is Dante Exum. We just heard that he's such a project, and he didn't get that much playing time in the FIBA tournament. And it kind of seemed like, wow, is this going to be a guy that we're barely going to see that's going to get a lot of DMPs, and, you know, as we ease along his development? And he has solidly earned that backup point guard position. And another thing we heard about him is he's going to need a lot of work on his shooting, and he's actually been a pretty good shooter this year too. So I'm pleased that Dante Exum is where he is. I mean, his shooting's better than I'll say my surprise negative is Trey Burke. Trey Burke just has not been able to hit any shots this year. I mean, his shot struggled last year. His shooting wasn't very good, but I thought now that he's in his second year and is a little more comfortable that we would see an improvement in his shooting, and it's actually worse this year, and that's been surprising.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Trey. That segues into my next question to you is, with Exum playing as well as he is, with Trey struggling, I know that the question has come up across Jazzland: are we going to see a change, or is Quinn going to stay with Trey and be patient with him throughout the season?
We won't see a change for a while when it comes. Mid-season All-Star break, I would be surprised if there's any change before that. Trey's still a good floor general. He's still a good assist man. But the fact that his shots aren't going down kind of hurts what some of the stuff they can do on offense. And if he could just be a little more consistent there, it would make their offense even better. It would probably get them back up into the top five offenses.
They're open shots, too. It's not like he's getting contested. They're open.
Exactly. That's the thing with this offense, and what I love about this offense, and what I kind of cringe at, is I'll be watching the game and going, man, if we had guys that can just shoot, this would be a really good offense. But you have guys missing open looks. So that's – and you know, Trey's only shooting 30%, 22% from three, so – I don't know what's going on with him at the beginning of the season, but I really hope he turns it around. I mean, every time he has the ball, I'm just rooting for him to make that next shot. Like, more than anyone else, I think about it. Like, uh-oh, is Trey going to shoot? Because it hasn't worked so far.
I found myself pulling for him last night. I kept pulling. Every time he'd take a shot, I'm like, all right, good shot, good shot. Come on, let's get it in. Found myself yelling at the TV after a while. I says, can't we just buy a bucket for Trey? Somebody buy a bucket.
Yeah.
If I were to give you a negative at this point that I'm surprised at, Jeremy Evans hasn't played much more than about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I expected to see Jeremy get in the rotation a bit. And I'm really surprised at this point in time, Quinn has gone with Ingles as his lead, you know, rotation, late rotation guy, even in front of Novak. I mean, Novak's played, but it seems like Ingles is the guy now. And so Jeremy Evans gets buried. He got pulled out in that Phoenix game and got to play for a little while, but I think it was Phoenix. But beyond that, we have not seen Jeremy Evans get any time on the floor.
Yeah, he's played 4 total minutes this year. I'm not that surprised about him and Novak not getting on the floor because they're power forwards. And the power forward duty is your 4 bigs are Favors and Cantor, Booker, and Gobert. And there hasn't really been a need to get anybody else in there. And Ingles is more of a 3. And I have been surprised how much time Ingles has got right away. I view it as a security blanket thing. Even though Ingles is a rookie, he's like, what is he, 27? So he's got all of his years of experience in Australia, and I figure Quinn knows what he's doing, and he'll be able to step in right away. I was really surprised we cut Jordan Hamilton without even seeing him on the floor. I mean, Jordan Hamilton seemed like he'd be a pretty decent backup small forward, but Quinn's comfortable enough with Ingles that he was okay to just go ahead and cut Hamilton loose. And
Where's our roster at right now? Do we have 14 or 15?
We have 14. Tre Murray, we haven't seen him yet, but he's number 14.
Okay. So we realistically could pick up another guy too, if need be.
Yeah. If we have a more serious injury happen, I was kind of bummed to see Hood go down, but I was glad that it's only for a couple games. Rodney Hood's been another surprise, because it seemed like when we drafted him, he was a one-dimensional player. He was a shooter, and his shooting has been terrible so far, but his defense has actually been pretty good.
Yeah, it has. And some of the moves he's made on offense has actually been pleasantly surprising too. They're veteran moves, you know, when he's got a shot, I think, and Devin, Torn by Devin, is sitting here with us, but he was sitting with me at one of the games, and I think it was a game where we both watched Rodney Hood make a move where he had an 18-foot shot and instead faked and then stepped back at the three-point line on the corner for a three-point shot, which is high percentage. I was really surprised that he chose his shot correctly on that particular play. And was that the particular game we were at, Devin? I think it was. And we both noticed that, where Hood seems to have a real good handle on the offense and where he should be on the floor and where those percentage shots are, seems to have a pretty good IQ and a good nose for the basketball and the plays on the floor. And it's kind of, I like watching him because you're right, defensively, he's getting better, and that's a surprise. But offensively, the way he's jumped right in, almost like a veteran and a fit into the system, has been really a pleasant surprise.
I actually thought Hood would have a better year than Exum, and he still might. We'll see how it goes, but he's only like 26%, I think, shooting 26%. So yeah, if he's making the right, he's going to the right spots on the floor, but his shots need to go down too. It's kind of amazing to me because I feel like we're not that good of a shooting team. But we really are. It's just, I think I'm just surprised at the guys who are having shooting struggles. But there's a reason we're the number 8 offense in the NBA, you know?
Right.
Our true shooting percentage is really good. Our efficient field goal percentage is really good. Our 3-point shooting is, I think we're somewhere in the middle. I think we're like number 16 or 20, somewhere in there. But all of our other offensive numbers were, most of them were in the top 5, so
I think we're number 15 in assists.
Yeah, That sounds right.
Those will come up as soon as the shots go down. I think we're going to see a definite improvement in assists once most of those shots that aren't falling start falling.
Yeah. I've been pretty pleased so far this year. When you consider last year, we were the number 20. I should remember this. We were number 26 or 27 offense and number 30 defense. And our defense is a little better and our offense is a lot better. So it's just a lot more fun to watch the Jazz this year.
I agree. It's a lot of fun.
Well, let's look ahead.
Okay.
Over the next week, we've still got three more on the road. We've got Atlanta on Wednesday, the Knicks on Friday, and then the Raptors on Saturday. And then we have a home game on Tuesday against the Thunder. That, to me, looks like a 2-2 stretch over the next four games.
Yeah. I wasn't quite so optimistic. I had the Jazz losing all three of their remaining road games, but then again, I had them winning last night. If they are to win one of the next three, I think it's going to be Atlanta. I want the Jazz to be able to prove me that they can win in New York. Do you realize that the Jazz have not won in New York in 4 years, I believe? And they actually are on a six-game losing streak to New York dating back to March of 2011, right after they had traded away Deron Williams. Jazz have not won in New York six straight games, or have not won against New York in six straight games.
Well, New York hasn't been that bad a team over the last 4 years. They really fell off the map last year, but the year before that, they were a playoff team. So I'm not that surprised by it. I think New York is the one where they're going to get their win. I think they'll lose to Atlanta. I'd be pleasantly surprised if they beat Atlanta, but Atlanta has a pretty good defense. And the Knicks just have not been playing well. They started 2-1 and thought they were going to be vastly improved, and they've lost four straight, I think. So they're five straight. They've lost five straight. So now they're 2-6. That's the game they should win. But I thought they should beat the Pacers too.
Yeah,
I would be very surprised if they lost all three of these next games. I think they'll get the next game.
What do you think of this upcoming Atlanta game? I mean, you're talking about their defense. I'm looking at two teams that run a very good passing type offense. I think we're going to see a lot of passing on both ends of the floor tomorrow night.
I think we will see good passing. And I'm, one thing that's really surprised me about Atlanta is that Kyle Korver is their leading scorer. And he's just having an amazing season. I mean, he's been a great pickup for Atlanta. He's averaging 3.7 three-point makes a game. I think it's great. I think he's 33, so I thought he'd be slowing down at this point. He never seemed like he was that athletic to begin with. But you have him on scoring. You have Teague, who's a really fast guy. And then you have Millsap and Horford, which is a really good forward-center combo there. You have Damari Carroll, who's still going strong. I just think Atlanta's going to be at home. And, the Atlanta Jazz are going to, I call them that because there's like at least three guys who used to be on the Jazz on that team. So I think that Millsap and Korver and Damari are going to play with a little more gusto. And I think they'll probably get that game. But then the Jazz will have a day of rest before they go to New York. And I think New York's kind of a mess right now, and I think they'll be able to get that one. Then they have Toronto on a back-to-back, and Toronto looks like the best team in the East right now, so I don't expect to win there. I wouldn't be surprised if Jazz lose like by 22 and then head home. And then they have 2 days of rest before they have to play Oklahoma City, who still doesn't have Westbrook or Durant, and just look like a mess. So I think this time next week, Jazz are going to be 5-7.
Yeah, 5-7. That's a good mark. How long did it take us to get our fifth win last year?
Oh, man.
It took us a while, if I remember correctly.
We started like 1-14, then yeah. Trey came back, something like that. You know, I remember listening to David Locke a couple weeks ago where he was talking about the beginning of the season. And he went through the schedule, and I think he had our fifth win almost 2 months into the season.
This year?
He's like, guys, we're going to start like 5-15 or something like that. I would have to... I'm not going to hunt down the podcast. Who am I kidding? But he made it sound like, yeah, it's going to be a long time before we get that fifth win. And kind of the middle of the season is when it moves out for us. But, you know, they're a little ahead of where a lot of people thought they would be. They're about what I thought they would be, but they're a little ahead of what a lot of other people thought they would be. So it's very satisfying.
Absolutely. What would you like to see if you could pick? I mean, we've talked a lot about a lot of players on this team. Let's talk about the starting five in particular. What would you like to see out of it, or is there any one particular player you'd like to see more out of as the weeks progress?
I would like to see Alec Burks get back to his old self. I don't know what's going on with him. I was looking at some of his numbers, and his numbers are more like where they were 2 years ago. And he showed a lot of improvement between 2 years ago to last year. And it looked like that improvement was going to continue this year. And, you know, it's early, but he hasn't really found himself within the offense, and his defense is questionable. He's not bad. I mean, he's okay, but I thought I would see improvement, and he's really not really improved. He's just a little bit worse than last year, and that's not what you want to see in a guy that you just gave $42 million to.
Right.
And his three-point shooting looks good, though. I'll say that.
His free throw shooting looks impressive, too. I think he's up that number already this year, too.
Yeah, he's at 37% from three, which is decent. It's just enough to
right.
be a threat. But his two-point shooting, I think he's at 40% now. But, you know, he's usually better than that. I expect him to be more like a 45% guy, especially for someone who goes to the basket so much.
Right.
He's one of our best at, or he... He's usually one of our best at drawing contact and going to the line. I think he's third on the team for that anyway right now with free throw attempts.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I think his percentages have come up at the free throw line too. The last time I checked, which I think was last night, he's sitting right around 80% at the free throw line.
I just finally pulled up his page. He's at 88% from the free throw line.
Okay, 88%.
Which is really nice to see. So that's why he's been shooting the technicals. He's having a really good free throw shooting year.
Right. No, I'd have to agree with you. I actually think he and I'm glad you went with him. He was my one player to watch on the team on the starting lineup as far as improvements go. I mean, we've kind of torn apart Cantor just a little bit and kind of talked about what we need to see from him. But Burks is definitely a guy. You're right. He's taken it a little bit of a step back. I thought he had a strong start in the first three or four games. Even in the loss to Houston, there were some plays that I thought he made defensively in that game that gave me hope. As to what we'd see out of him, when he couple plays where he trailed Harden off the ball and forced a turnover in the other direction, but it seems over the last four or five games he's dropped, and you're right, yeah. He's dropped back to a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he had a pretty good defensive game against Harden. There were some touch fouls I remember being angry at in that game. But, yeah, he had a pretty good defensive game against Harden. He's going to have his hands full. He's got Korver. Korver's playing their two spot mostly, I think. I'm pretty sure Korver's the two and DeMar is their three.
Right.
So he'll have his work cut out for him, keeping Korver from scoring. But one of the Jazz's biggest weaknesses on defense is perimeter. And Trey's going to have his hands full with Jeff Teague. And Alex got to make sure that he doesn't let Korver go off. Alex athletic enough that he should be able to stay in front of Korver and just hope that he doesn't get beat on the rotations.
Well, yeah, and that's...
I just have images in my head of them being late on rotations and Korver getting off a bunch of corner threes.
Actually, where I think where what scares me the most, where I think that Korver or that Alec might get beat the most on, and this is something I had a conversation with Ben Dowsett on Twitter one day. Ben Dowsett of our friends over at Salt City Hoops, he talked about Alec's off the ball defense. You know, what is he doing on the opposite side of the floor when he's defending? That's what worries me most about Korver, because Korver's really good at coming off those elbow screens. Where is Alec when there's an elbow screen going on and that ball hits Korver in the hands? Is Alec going to be able to fight through a screen and be able to get there and defend? What is and that's those are some of my concerns, because I think that's where Korver's going to hurt the Jazz the most.
Yeah, good point.
So, well, what else you got?
I think that's good.
All right. Well, I hope you're right. 2-2. We'll have to watch and see what happens. I'm actually excited about tomorrow's game, probably, of the four. So, thanks, John. This is our first podcast. For those who will be listening, hope you all give us a go as the rest of the season progresses, because we're going to look to try and make this a weekly occurrence of Jedi and Germs on the Jazz, and give us feedback. We'll post out some questions. Maybe, John, maybe we can do that on a weekly basis before we sit down the podcast. Maybe we can post some tweets, see if people want to respond, and maybe address some of them on this podcast. That's good too. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, so we'll do that going forward.
Get the people involved.
What's that?
Yeah. I said get the people involved.
Absolutely. So, all right, well, thanks for joining us for our inaugural Jedi and Germs on the Jazz. We hope to hear from y'all or get to y'all next week. Peace.
Out.